Please be seated. And I invite you, as we come to this sermon time, to take a moment to be quiet before the Lord. Almighty God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Challenge our hearts and our minds, and bring transformation in our lives, that we might be your people, your witnesses. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Anyone who's known me more than a few years knows that I really like fire. I've always been fascinated by fire. As far back as I can remember, I've loved fire, and I've enjoyed lighting matches and candles and fireplaces and barbecues, you name it. As a child on cold winter weekends in Pittsburgh, it was a huge privilege to get to make the family fire in the fireplace on cold weekends, and then to light it. And there was always a sense of accomplishment to build a good fire that you could light with one match, maybe two. There was always a sense of accomplishment, pride as I sat before the fire that I had created. And at nighttime, I loved turning off all the lights and then sitting with the only light being the fire. Maybe if you've been camping, you've experienced this. Watching the flames, the hot coals glowing and interacting. There's something peaceful there amidst this dangerous thing. Something relaxing, mesmerizing about the fire. And in our modern Western culture, fire is truly only utilized for its heat nowadays, for cooking, for warming. Fire's production, its emission of light, is mostly lost because of our access to electricity. It really takes effort in this modern age to eliminate all of the influences of electric light, to close windows, to close shades, to turn off switches, night lights, so that you can truly get to appreciate the light from a fire or from a candle. Now, here, even with all of the lights off, the cross light is still on, and I would say that's appropriate. These three skylights would be enough to dispel the darkness here for you to see. Now, I mentioned the strong sense of peace that I sense watching a fire. Light carries with it a similar connotation of peace, of hope. When one feels lost, when one feels frightened, oppressed, hopeless, light has a way of inspiring calm, of giving hope, as light literally shatters and breaks through the darkness. Just as one candle in a vast cave is enough to dispel the darkness. Our passage from Matthew chapter 5 begins that way. At verse 14, Jesus declares, "You are the light of the world." Jesus declares to his followers that they represent the light of the world. Not some of the lights in the world or one of the lights in the world, but you are the light of the world. Now that's a great compliment to Jesus' followers, to be given the title, the light of the world. The prophet Isaiah declared in chapter 49, "This is the word of the Lord," he declared. "I will make Israel, I will make my people as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." The light of the world, that title also reflects the essence of who Jesus is. As God the Son, our Master, our Savior, our Messiah, and our Lord. In John chapter 1, John records, "In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And he went on to say, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, Jesus. Later in John chapter 8, we read again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again in John chapter 9, the next chapter, as long as I am in the world, Jesus proclaims, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the only light. The only light in the world. The Greek word for world is cosmos, in the universe. Jesus is the one light in all of creation. The one light who enlightens every man, every woman who put their faith and their trust in him. Without Jesus or apart from Jesus, there is no light. There's only darkness. And that's a powerful truth. If today you're here and you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah, Savior, and Lord, then you're in darkness. In Jesus, the glory of God is witnessed invisible. In everything that Jesus does, in everything that Jesus has said, Jesus is the only light shining in the spiritual darkness. And if that light is in you, then you shine. And that light is in you if you follow him. And look at the imagery in the second half of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Look at the imagery that he offers. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, it's said on a clear night that the light from one candle, if everything was flat, how many miles do you think you could see it? Somebody take a guess. 7? 30. It's said on a clear night, if everything was flat, you could see a candle from 30 miles. So let's shrink it down. Someone said 7. In a straight line from our location down JTB, Costco is 9 miles away. Imagine one candle being seen at the Costco or 13 miles away at the beach. This gives you a sense of the luminosity or the power of the light of Jesus and his followers, immeasurably greater and more powerful than one candle. Now, it's also important that while Jesus says his light is in his followers, it's important to understand Jesus doesn't demand that you shine with your own light. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It's not up to you to produce light, to be good enough. Faith in Jesus Christ. His light is in you, and he shines through you. Jesus declares, as you follow me, as you remain connected in relationship with me, as you follow my teaching, my light will be in you, and I will shine through you. The radiance of the follower of Jesus is not because of what you do. It's not, look at me. It's because Jesus' light and his radiance, his presence is in you, shining in and through you. So it's truly, look at Jesus as he shines through you. We're going to talk about 3 points about light right now. That light is to be seen, it serves as a guide, and it serves as a warning. So first point, a light is to be seen. No one covers up a lamp. Verse 15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so that it can give light to everyone in the house. A lamp is only covered for safety. It has purpose, and its purpose is to bring light. You may wonder, why is he talking about a basket? Well, in the first century, fire was very dangerous. So you needed to be careful with light when you left your house. Fire was also very hard to start. Have you ever tried to start a fire with no matches, with flint, or with something else? It's a challenge. So in first century homes, when they would leave, they would take the lamp off the lampstand and they would put a basket over it to protect the rest of the house from fire so that it couldn't fall over. And Jesus is saying, no one lights a lamp to put it under the basket. It's designed to give light, to bring light to everyone in the one-room home, to everyone that's within clear sight. The light of Christ in you isn't simply for your church time. It's not simply to shine when you're in certain places. The light of Christ is to shine at all times. It's intended to be visible in you at all times, that all would look at you and see Jesus. You are the light of the world. You are a light to the nations. The light is to be seen. The second point, light serves as a guide. Think of a lighthouse. Think of lights on a runway in a dark night. Think of lights on the water marking safe passage for boats in tight channels. In the same way, Jesus' light in us serves as a guide to those who are in the darkness, to other believers, not for your sake, so that you can look good and shine, but to lead others to Him, to draw others to Him, because light is attractive, that they would be attracted to you and see Jesus. Light is attractive. Think about any movie where people are hiding and then someone lights a match or a fire and they quickly put it out. No, we'll be seen. Or the airplane looking for the runway and suddenly the lights turn on. Light is attractive. His light in you will draw outsiders, will draw those lost in darkness to Himself. William Barclay, an older, from some years past, a New Testament scholar, biblical scholar, said it this way: the world needs guiding lights. There are people waiting and longing for a lead to take the stand and do the thing which they do not dare do by themselves. People are looking for hope. They're looking for true life. You are the light of the world in Jesus Christ. So light serves as a guide. Third point, light can serve as a warning. Think of the flashing lights on the highway that say, caution, slow down. If you're ever driven with a new driver, sometimes you have to say, there was just a sign back there that said, caution, please slow down. I still hear that from my wife. Caution, slow down. His light helping guide others in the faith, speaking up to identify danger, to warn others. There was a youth event that happens every month in Jacksonville called Youthquake Live. It was just this past Friday. It happens every month, but the theme this past Friday was True Love Waits. This was about using the light of the gospel, of God's plan for intimacy, to identify danger and warn teenagers of the consequences of dangerous paths. Light can serve as a warning, but this point, it carries with it an edge of danger. Light is a warning. It's difficult to provide correction or guidance to others. Have you ever tried? Men and women are inherently really defensive. I know I am. Even when done lovingly and without condemnation, guidance can be received negatively. Serving as a warning light can be scary. You may be judged. You may be rejected. You may even be attacked. Serving as a warning light that the darkness in the world is toxic and that the light of Jesus is the only hope. That is important, though, because occasion may arise where another will ask, why didn't you speak up sooner? Why didn't you tell me of the hope that you had? Why didn't you say something to protect me? It doesn't eliminate the danger. But that is a function of light, to serve as a warning. Returning to our passage from Matthew chapter 5 ends with this. So therefore, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and sing your praises. That's not what it says, is it? It's not about you. Let your light shine before others. Let the light of Christ shine before you, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father, glory to God who is in heaven. Light shines for the glory of the light, not for the glory of the lamp. Again, it's not look at me. We shine so that others might see Jesus. This is all about our participation in the Lord's long-standing mission for his people to be a light in the darkness, to be a light to the nations. Jesus is the only light, the only source of eternal life and light, the only way to the Father. He said it, not me. If you are lost in darkness today, whether you know Jesus or you don't, whether you feel lost in darkness, or whether you've never turned to Jesus and you are lost in darkness, I implore you to take a step toward him and investigate Jesus. Move toward his light. Seek after him because he promises that he will be found. I want to close with a question for all of you who consider yourselves followers of Jesus. Is his light visible in and through your life? Can anyone see the light of Christ in you? Can anyone around you at work, at home, in your neighborhood, on the highway, in the store, can anyone see Jesus' light in you? This is a crucial question right now, as it seems the darkness in our world is getting darker and more terrifying and more lonely and more devastating. Is Jesus' light visible in and through your life? We live in difficult times with challenging issues before us every day. You don't have to watch the news for long. Murder, abortion, refugees who've lost everything, stuck for decades in camps, immigration issues, war and genocide. We live in difficult times. Even in our own city right now, there's an issue before city council that I know a lot of the city is watching, the human rights ordinance. Now, those hearings are posted online. I took some time to watch some of the hearings, to watch some of the testimony. And it doesn't matter which side of the human rights ordinance you are on. The hearings featured strong, passionate, and at times hurtful declarations and accusations from both sides. And it included people who at the microphone declared, "I'm a Christian." Hurtful accusations. Jesus' light can and should shine through us no matter what the issue. Can somebody give me an amen there? Jesus' light can and should shine through his followers no matter the issue. Jesus, when he was faced with a woman caught in adultery, probably naked before him, humiliated as the town was ready to stone her, guilty, Jesus displayed love and compassion towards her. He protected her. And he spoke truth, telling her to change her life. From John chapter 8, and Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Jesus' light can and should shine through us no matter the issue, as we stand for him as his witnesses. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, then his light is in you, but because of sin, there are things that inhibit that light from shining. We each have sin. Inhibitors to the light being seen. I believe the greatest inhibitor to Jesus' light shining through his people is anger and bitterness and resentments, the things that we hold on to, the toxin. Anger, bitterness, and resentments, I believe, serve like a wet blanket over the fire of Christ that burns in us. What do you get when you put a wet blanket over a fire? Smoke, and that's all people can see. When we're full, when we're holding on to that toxin. When kept inside, it will permeate through you, just as I found out in my own experience, too much garlic oozes through your pores. Anger, bitterness, and resentment will ooze through. Here's an example from my own life. Last year, I was visiting Dan at college. Got up early. He was working at a golf course in Naples. So I told him, I'll get there before your shift starts so we could surprise your buddies with donuts. Well, I followed my GPS all the way past the golf course a few miles. Now, I don't know if you've ever driven in Naples. Doesn't matter what time of day, but there's only one speed in Naples. It's slow. So I followed traffic all the way down to where it said there was a donut shop. And I got there, and it was a gas station that wasn't open. So I had to retrace my steps, go 4 miles back, and then another 5 miles to the other Dunkin' Donuts. Now, there is another speed. It became slower. So as I'm behind one guy and then behind the other guy, I'm starting to boil. I need to get there. I need to get there in my head. And there was this wall of three cars across all three lanes, and it didn't matter which one would speed up. Well, I was consumed by that until the lights started behind my car. An unmarked car was two cars back. What do you think those people saw as I was driving? Did they see the light of Christ? As they looked in their rearview mirror, did they see the love of Jesus through my eyes? That cop came to the window. He was off duty, and he was, "What are you doing?" And all I could say was, "I'm so ashamed." And when I explained to him what was going on, thankfully he had compassion. After he ripped me up one side and down the other, he had compassion. And he said, "What is it you're trying to find in such a hurry?" And I had to say, "Dunkin' Donuts." Not a joke. He knew right where it was and how to get there the quickest. It's not a joke. What did those people see in me? Did they see light, love, or compassion? They saw smoke. Because the bitterness and the resentments from what was going on in other areas of my life was flowing through my pores. You are the light of the world. I pray you will daily humble yourself before Jesus. Daily reset your foundation. Every day, reset your foundation upon him. Ask him to reveal your bitterness and resentments that you might let go of them and give them to him. Because we don't really control anything. And if you think you do, again, reset your foundation on Jesus. He'll set you straight. That's the hope of the gospel, is that we can take those anger, those hurts, those resentments and lay them at the foot of his throne. And he promises love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, no matter your circumstances. That's the hope of the gospel, that you can cast your burdens upon him. He'll give you peace in the midst of whatever the storm is. He'll give you rest when it seems that everything conspires against you. He is faithful, he is trustworthy, and he is always with you. His light can and will shine through you, even in the darkest of times, when you're connected to him, even when traffic doesn't cooperate, you can have his peace. And even in more challenging circumstances than that, Jesus is the light, and you are his light to the world, his light to the lost and to the nations. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.